do consider it a very great blessing and privilege to stand before you tonight, to be in the house of the Lord and to be engaged in the worship service. Very thankful for the words that Brother Philip has brought to our attention. Thinking about this weekend for some time, when I had gotten word that the church at Bay Springs had called for Brother Wynn's ordination, and looking forward to coming and being part of it, and then Brother Philip had called and invited and said they were going to have a special service here tonight. Some thoughts that have been on my mind for a good month that, believe me, is a young minister, sometimes I think it's just the flesh, and boy, that's a good subject, and I think I'll preach it here or there, and then it seems like, well, it would be gone, but this is a subject that it seems that I cannot get off my mind, and I pray that it is of the Lord. But Brother Philip bringing to our attention very much encouraged me that it is of the Lord. In your Bibles, the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 36, Matthew writes, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Thinking about this weekend and drawing back on some, not quite 6 years ago, on the day or night of my ordination myself, you know, there's one thing that I knew then, was reassured by the elders that was in my presbytery. This weekend is not about Brother Wynn. I love Brother Wynn and Sister Laura, and he would be the first to say this is not about him. This weekend is about the Lord. Now, it is a blessing that the Lord has called Brother Wynn to the ministry. But when you think about what the apostle, or what Matthew here, the apostle Matthew, has written by inspiration of God, he says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them." Can you picture this in your mind for a moment here? Here's Christ looking out across a multitude of people, if you will. And he is moved with compassion. His love for his people. Now, brothers and sisters, my mind first goes to maybe a multitude. It could be a multitude of 5,000 or 10,000 where he was feeding. But I think of another multitude of his people as an innumerable number. And he's looked out across them and he saw with compassion in his heart, he saw us as sheep. He says there that he have moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You think about when Christ, you know, looking down and looking and seeing his people, having compassion and love for his people as they were those that we have no shepherd. Yes, we have the shepherd. We have the good shepherd in Jesus Christ. But he's talking about someone to go feed them. That's what it is, the context here. He said, "Then he said unto the disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." At this time, he had only called, you know, some 12, and even another account where he called 70 more to go out and preach the gospel. You know, you figure 70 plus the 12, you know, you got, you know, 82 there. What is that among so many? He said, pray. He gives us a commandment. He tells us here in 2016 what we should be doing. Pray. Praying to the Lord Himself. He says, "Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into the harvest." Dear elder back home, he's gone on to be with the Lord. Elder Jerry Britt, I know Brother Philip, Brother Danny, some of you others may remember him, may know of him. I was reminded not too long ago, he said, young brother there, he said he never stepped into the pulpit. He said, the best of our memory, he said he never stepped into the pulpit that he didn't remind the congregation to pray that the Lord would send laborers into the harvest, that the Lord would raise up men. Says the Lord had compassion. He's the one that calls the men. He's the one that sends them. Think about the account over in the book of Acts, chapter 8. We'll go there and read just a little bit. Acts chapter 8, we'll just start in verse 26. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority unto Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Now you think about this picture here. Here is Philip. And you can read back in just a little bit in chapter here of 8. You know, he's been in a good meeting. You think about being in a good 3-day meeting. The Lord has been blessing. Man, it has just been man after man getting up. The Lord is blessed with rich preaching. And here he was there. And now the Lord, the Spirit of God, has directed him, says, "You go. You go down." He said, "Go towards Jerusalem to Gaza, which is a desert." And you do a little figuring there real quick. You know, it's roughly some 90 miles. The Spirit of God has directed this man to go walking through a desert. He's sending him down to meet up with the Ethiopian eunuch. It says that when he gets there, he said, here's the eunuch. Here he has been up to Jerusalem, a man of Ethiopia, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was the charge of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He's up there to worship the Lord in the best knowledge and ability that he knew. He went to the house of the Lord. He went up there to worship the God, to worship the God that was in his heart, the one that had changed that heart, to give him desire to go worship him. He'd been there worshiping the Lord. And the Lord sent Philip to that man. And said he was returning and he's sitting in his chariot and he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." He said, "You go to that chariot." There's a man reading the Bible. He's reading Isaiah. We knew through the scriptures that he's reading in Isaiah chapter 53. He's been up worshiping the Lord. And now he's returning and he's reading. This is a man of authority. This is a man who, you know, he's got great power under the queen there. He's got, you know, taking it, he's reading. He's not worried about driving the chariot. His mind's on the scriptures. And it says there that the Spirit, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Philip went and joined to that one chariot. And he asked the eunuch a question. "Understandest thou what thou readest?" That's a pretty good question. I've had that question asked me by a lot of men. You know, a couple that was trying to help me. And I'd be hard-headed and say, "Sure, I've got it all figured out." And then they'd show me what it really meant. And the answer to what that eunuch gave him, verse 31, and he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" You think about what he just said. He said, "How can I unless some man guide me?" Now Matthew tells us that we need to be praying that the Lord would be the one that sends the laborers. When the Lord calls a man to preach, it's a labor. Here, in Acts, he calls him a guide. You think about what a guide is. A guide is someone who directs. Someone who is trying to take care. Someone who has been called by God in this place. Here's Philip, who has been called and been moved by the Spirit of God to go to one man. How precious is every child of God in His sight? That He would send a minister to one man. You know, I would love tonight. I'm very thankful for the congregation that's here. I would love to have seen the pews full and Brother Mike and them getting the chairs out and putting them down the aisles and everything. But you know, it's still a blessing. If it was just one person here and the Lord was in the matter, it could still be some of the sweetest times in the house of the Lord that you would ever experience. I know Brother Danny, he's been to places where there's been one. I've been where there was four people. And they were hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They wanted to hear the gospel preached. And it was some of the sweetest time, some of the sweetest match. I think I had some of the best liberty the Lord has blessed me with when it was just a very, very small handful. But if the Lord is there, if the Lord is the one who's called the man and sent the man, He's going to bless it. He said He's a guide. I've used this example a couple of times already, but you know what? That's the best one that through my experiences that I have here probably some 8 or 10 years ago. Me and one of my brothers decided we wanted to go out west. We've been out hunting a lot. We like to go out there hunting sometimes when we're able to. We finally, we decided we want to go out to Wyoming. We're going to get us a guide. We're going to go to some of those good areas where there's good hunting. Let somebody come and take us, show us where the big deer are, where we can get one. And we drive out, we get there, and when we get to the camp, and bear with me, like I said, I told one, I'm not just trying to tell my hunting stories, there is a point to this. We get to the camp, and we start at 8,000 feet above sea level. That's where the road ended at their camp. The next morning, we go out, and we get to the area that we're going to hunt, and we've got a guide with us. We've got a young man, he's there, he lives in the area, and knows it very well, and he tells us, he said, up there is where we've got to go. And he points up the side of that mountain. And he says, there's a good one. And he takes off. And I mean, he's going up the side of that mountain, and it's just like I'm walking out across that parking lot. My brother's a little older, and he said, you go. I know I can't do that. So I take off, and I said, I'm going to be with him. I'm going to be there when we get there. About a third of the way up, I realize I'm not as in good a shape as this man is. We finally get up to the 10,000-foot mark. And I get there, and I'm trying to catch my breath. I'm not doing very well. And I asked him, I said, where's it at? He said, never mind it. He said, he's done long gone. But he takes one look at me, and he says, I've got to get you down. He said, you're going to get altitude sickness. So we start coming back down. We meet up with my brother, and then he starts telling us, he said, now the next time you come out, this is what you need to do to have yourself acclimated. This is what you need to do getting ready. And then he takes us and he shows us other areas we could go on and have a successful hunt. As a guide, he knew what to look for. He not just to look where to go hunt, where the best deer hunting was. He knew what to look for in me and my brother whenever we started showing the signs of sickness. Knowing where to carry us, where we needed to go. Just like a guide, just like a man who is called of God, a laborer that He has raised up. He knows He's been blessed with a gift. That gift comes from the Lord. It's not a gift from the church. The church, yes, you have a responsibility if a man stands before you and says that I feel the urge or the calling to preach the gospel, to see is there a gift there? Is he sound? Is he ready to go and preach the gospel? But the gift comes from God. That's a gift from the Lord Himself. That's why He said, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Because He's the one that calls them in. He's the one that, if Brother Wynn, and I trust he does, from what we've heard and what you sound elders here in this church, in the churches in this area, that there's a gift to guide. Not to be Lord over the Lord's heritage, to be the guide with love and compassion. Because that's what he said there. He said, how can I accept some man should guide me? When we think about what a laborer in the Lord's vineyard is, to guide, is to lead. Matter of fact, whenever over in the book of John, chapter 21, when Christ is there by the shore, and the apostles, they said, I go a-fishing. They turn and go back to what they thought, I'll just go back to what I used to do. The Lord, He's been crucified. We thought He was the one. And He was. He didn't come out of that grave. He didn't show Himself twice to them, but yet they still said, I go a-fishing. And there He calls them to the shore, and He's talking to them. We all know the account there when He asked Peter, do you love me? And he know those three questions. And he asked him, Lord, you know I love you. He said, then feed my lamb. He asked him that question again. He said, feed my sheep. He asked him one more time. He said, feed my sheep. You know that verse there says, feed my lambs and then feed my sheep. That second feed there, it means to be like a pastor or a guide. To guide them. to feed them, to nurture them. Just like that man, he took one look and knew that I was getting sick. He knew that I needed to be getting down where I could get more oxygen. You know, that's what a man is called of God, you know, to see, to look over the sheep, look over the Lord's heritage, look over and say they need to be fed. You know, because it's His feeding, it's His Word that we need to be preaching and feeding the Lord's people. You know, if Brother Philip or Brother Gary or some of these that stand, you know, and looking over the congregation that they've been called, because you think about, it said that Spirit sent Philip to one man. It was the Lord sending that man to where he is to go. He is in that. You know, you think about when Peter, there just a couple of more chapters over, Peter was in the vision and seeing that sheep let down with all those beasts, those unclean beasts. He said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." He tells him, "No, Lord, nothing unclean has ever touched my lips." He said, "Don't call what I have clean, you know, unclean or common." He sent Peter. He was the one sending Peter to Cornelius. And at the same time, he was working on Cornelius and saying, "You send for Peter." You see, it's the Lord who sends the man. And it's the Lord who directs the church. But they've both got to be looking. They've both got to be praying to the Lord. Because He's the one that directs the man and He's the one that will direct the church to send them a guy, send the man that knows what they need. You know, if Brother Philip, Brother Gary, you know, Brother Howie, any of these here, they're looking over the... They know, you know, this brother or sister, they're not been coming quite as often as they should. Maybe there's something wrong. It could be. Whether it be something family, could be just health, could be work or whatever. He said, "Some man guide me." Look at one more, another place, and how the Lord describes these laborers. Over in the book of Ephesus in chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Here the Scriptures call them gifts. You know, this goes right along with what we've been trying to bring out about the laborers and about the guide. This is a gift from the Lord. He's given gifts unto men. Now, you can look at that two ways. I heard a discussion on this one time, got me thinking about this. A couple of elders, he said, is he talking about he gives the gift to the man? Or is he giving that gift to the people, to the men, to the multitude? I believe it's both. Because first, he calls the laborer. He gives him a gift to preach. You know, one of the qualifications of a minister is apt to teach. Someone who can guide. Someone who can teach. When you think about what Ezekiel. We'll look over in Ezekiel right quick. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 1. We'll just read a couple of verses. "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me, and he spake unto me, and set my feet upon that I heard of him, and spake unto me. And he said, Son of man, I will send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation, that he hath rebelled against me, and they and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day." Here it says, Ezekiel says that the Lord was the one who raised him up and put him on his feet. It's a gift that the Lord calls a man, calls that laborer to go to the house of the Lord. You know, Jeremiah said he was ordained a prophet. And you can read where Paul talks about how God had called him and put him into the ministry. He gives a man a gift. But then he turns around and he sends that man with a gift, as a gift unto the Lord's people. To be a guide. To be a pastor. Well, let me get, before I get ahead of myself, we'll come down to verse 11. He said, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." He said he called these men. He gave them a gift. And then he sent that gift unto his people. Unto the multitudes. And you know, and it doesn't matter how old. You've had one among your midst, I think Brother Sam, some of you can correct, about maybe 15, I think, when he started preaching. Maybe even younger than that. It's not the age. You know, he told Timothy, you're not to worry about the age of his youth. the Lord is the one who calls the man. He gives him the gift. He stands him on his feet and he sends him. He says that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. The Lord knows what we need before we need it, but He knows that what we need the moment we need it. He knew there was a time that the church needed apostles. He called those 12. He was the one that called them. And you know, it's not a... Brother Wynn, you've probably been told this, but you know, they're not doing you a favor when they put the hands, lay the hands on you. You know what? This is a great labor. It's a great responsibility. And I was very thankful the question was asked, Brother Wynn, just a little bit ago. Was he nervous? You know, I would have been a little nervous. He says, no, I'm fine. I've got this covered. This is a very serious thing. What the church is set point called a presbytery to do. But the Lord is the one that called the men. He called apostles when the church, when His flock needed apostles, He called them. He called Peter, James, John, Paul. He knew what it needed right then. And He said that He gave some prophets. He knew in the Levitical time, He knew in the Old Testament, He knew then that they needed the prophets. He was the one that gave them the vision. He was the one that gave them the ability to understand dreams and visions. You know, Joseph, when he was in prison, you know, when the cupbearer and the baker there, they had the dreams, and they, you know, he was one that was going to interpret them. He didn't stand up and say, "Well, I can tell you what." Oh, he gave the glory to God. He said, "The Lord is the one that reveals dreams." Even when he went before Pharaoh, he said, "The Lord was the one." The Lord is the one that raises up the men. He gives the gifts. He says that He gives prophets and some evangelists. You know, Philip was called an evangelist there. He was the one that raised up and gave Philip. He's the one that sent Philip to the eunuch. And He gave some pastors and teachers. There's no comma there. A pastor is a teacher. I trust. Now, I've heard many say we need to change or add some things to help teach. If I'm not teaching, standing here tonight, then I need to get out of the way and let Brother Danny come up and do some teaching. The Lord gives a man a gift to be a pastor, to be a guide. But He also gives him the ability to feed the sheep. When you think about that multitude, I mentioned about how the Lord, you know, took those 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and He said there were some 5,000 men, and not counting women and children. The Lord was the one who took that bread and that fish and blessed it and broke it. But what did He do with it? You know, He had the ability, if He was so minded, to have just instantly had everybody full. They didn't even have to actually consume it. He could have had them everybody full, or at that moment have a wonderful meal setting right before them, just like the brothers and sisters had prepared here tonight. But said the Lord took that, He blessed it, He broke it, and He gave it to the disciples to give to the multitude. He calls the man, He gives him the gift. He directs his thought, and it should be with much prayer and study and meditation. But the Lord is the one. That's what I say. Sometimes I get a thought on my mind, and I think, well, I'll try to preach this, and the Lord richly blesses it. And sometimes I see, no, Lord, You're showing me that wasn't of me, or of You, that was of me. He's the one that blesses. It says that when He took that bread and that 2 fishes, that there was a young lad. I think this is in the account in John. That was a lad that brought this. I know I've mentioned this here maybe a couple of times, but it's a good point. He didn't call him by name because it doesn't matter. When you think about what He gave the gifts, He says, and He gave some apostles. Paul here, writing by inspiration of the Spirit, didn't name any names. He could have said Peter, James, John. He could have said, the Lord gave you me. He said apostles. Because it's not about the man who stands before you. It's about the Lord. Said when He gave prophets, He could have given. He could have like named a lot of prophets. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, you know, David, a lot of them. It's not about the man. It was about the Lord. You know, the evangelist. He could have easily wrote in Philip's name. He said even the pastors and teachers. He could have put Timothy or Titus. It's not about the man. That's why I wasn't picking on Brother Wynn when I say it's not about him.
Right.
This is about the Lord. We've come to give thanks to the Lord for calling laborers, sending them, giving them a gift, giving us the bread in His Word, giving us the desire to look over and guide His people. But you think about someone who's a pastor or a teacher or a shepherd, if you will. I've heard many names that could be used. An under-shepherd. Been out in Arkansas a lot of times and stay with Elder James Isaacs out there. And I know most all of you know here, Brother James raises cattle. You know, and he'll go out and maybe between meetings, or maybe if it's we get out there early and Brother James says, come on, you know, we got a little time to kill. And he'll get in the truck and he goes out and he'll drive through a pasture. And I can hear him over there, 1, 2, 3. You know, he's counting the cows. And he's not just doing that to say, well, yeah, there's supposed to be 25 in here and to see if there's one or two missing. Yeah, he's doing that, but at the same time, he's looking to see, is there some that need to be tended to? You know, that's what a good pastor, a teacher, a good guide, he's looking. When Brother Philip or any of these elders here, Brother Danny, you know, when he's up here preaching, he's preaching and feeding the Lord's sheep of what the Lord is giving, but at the same time, he can be overlooking and seeing, is there one that is needing a little more attention? Maybe in the lunchroom whenever you're sitting around and visiting and you can see that there's one that's hurting, there's one, or maybe the deacons will come up and say, you know, brother, I know you might have seen this, but brother or sister so-and-so is going through these things. The Lord is the one who's giving the gift to tend to those sheep. Because there may be a lot of times, and I know in my young ministry, I don't have the words. But in prayer, meditation, maybe there's a verse, or maybe there's a sermon that the Lord puts on you. Go, why? What am I? Why is this all of a sudden? It is because the Lord is tending to His sheep. Because that's what the next verse there, verse 12, it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building up, for the nurturing, taking care, watching over and guiding. The Lord is the one. The Lord is the one that gets the credit. The Lord is the one that gets the glory. I'm going to go to another place and then start winding this down for Brother Danny. Over in the book of Amos, 8th chapter, it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but for the hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. And they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. It says, in that day shall their fair virgin young men faint for thirst. You know, Amos here is giving us a warning, if you will. He was called to send, told and preached this to the children of Israel when they'd gotten off into idolatry. The Lord is the one who gives the gift. He's the one that can also take that gift away. And that can go for man or church or an area, in this case, a great area. You know, if I get up and start getting prideful and saying, boy, I'm sure doing a good job. You know, the Lord can take that away. He can do it even right now. I pray that, Lord, I'm not getting prideful. But to make a point, just think about if a man thinks it's of him. The Lord's the one that gave the gift. He can take that gift away. The Lord is the one that sent the man to a church. He can lead that man somewhere else. You remember, Philip was led by the Spirit. You can go on over in Acts in chapter 16 where Paul had a desire to go into Asia to preach the Word, but the Spirit let him not. It told him not to go there. We had some 400 years from the end of Malachi to John the Baptist. There was no gifts given for the preaching of the gospel. Brother, why are you hitting this so hard? Because it is a blessing what we have right here today. It's a blessing of what we have tonight. Because you think about Matthew chapter 11 about verse 5. When he talks about, go shew John these things again, he gives that list of the blind having their eyes open, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. This is some that know me, and I can tell you there's some folks back home that's known me for a long time. When they say it's a miracle for a man to preach, they probably say, well, if Brother Tony's preaching, that really is a miracle. But it's a miracle when a man preaches the gospel. Because to preach means that the Holy Spirit has been sent down from heaven itself to be with that man. This is a gift. What we have tonight, what we're able to do to come and worship Him, is a rich blessing, a gift from God. Let's not take that for granted. Go to one other place, and then I'm going to give way to Brother Daniel. Over in the book of Timothy. Chapter 2. The 2 Timothy, excuse me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Brother Philip then stole a little bit of my thunder on this one, but I think it was of the Lord too. If you think about what Paul here is teaching, he said, "In these things that thou hast heard of me," his writing to Timothy, he said, "Timothy, the things that you have heard from me, the things that the Lord has blessed Paul." Paul said these things were revealed to him by revelation from Jesus Christ Himself. The things that Paul had read and studied. He said he studied at the feet of Gamaliel. You know, he was one that could have taken the old Levitical law and just taught you forwards and backwards. He knew the law so well. He was, great knowledge in it. He said, "The things that I have taught," the things that he had taught Timothy, things that Timothy had learned. You think about what Paul had, but you know all of that until he was struck down on that road to Damascus, it was just words, if you will. Yeah, it was words that he followed. He knew it was the law. But until he was struck down, until there was the Spirit of God in him, it didn't really mean anything. It didn't make his heart burn with desire like those two on the road to Emmaus. But whenever Paul had these words now, we need to teach. We need to teach our little ones. We need to teach those around us the Word of God. Because we never know who the Lord's going to call and raise up. He said, "Teach these things." Because when we learn these things, the more we learn, the more we grow in grace and knowledge, the more we feed upon His Word, the greater the blessing is when those times of trouble comes. One verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "For after that of the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." There's a salvation in this, and this preaching, and these gifts that He's called, that when we hear the gospel preached, there's a salvation. This is not an eternal salvation, but it's a deliverance right here, right now, to know that He is on His throne, ruling and reigning and watching over His sheep. Because He's still calling men from the walks of life. Because prayers are still being answered. He's still calling men and sending laborers. There's still a salvation knowing that He's still on His throne. I know a lot of you probably talking with those in the neighborhood that are not old Baptists, or maybe your work or something. You believe that old book. You believe something that was written some 2,000 years ago by all these different men. How do you know there's really a God? That's what Brother Philip pointed out, because He's still calling men from the walks of life. He's still giving gifts unto men. That's when He said to teach these things. Paul taught it to Timothy. Timothy taught it to those that were under Him. And then that chain just continues on and on and on. Same with the laying on of hands. When you think about the hands that are going to be laid on Brother Wynn tomorrow, and you think about the hands that were laid on those men, and you start going backwards, where does it all end up? At the same place it began. Jesus Christ. It's all about Him, brothers and sisters. He's the one that calls the laborers. He's the one that sends the guides. He's the one who has blessed us with gifts. Let's rejoice and give Him the thanks for His glory. I thank you for the kind attention.